This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue to remember John Feinstein with his favorite artist, Billy Joel. And so many, a catalog of unbelievable hits.
I was worried about having or not having enough music, and then I looked in the system and I forgot how many hits Billy Joel has.
An absurd amount.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I was watching, they had last April? I think it was last April. They had a special on CBS from Madison Square Garden.
Yes, I remember.
And they were talking about how he did like a residency for like 10 years of once every month, I think it was.
Ooh.
So like 12 times a year.
That's great work. If you
Billy
get
Joel,
it.
You know, performed at Madison Square Garden and sold out every show.
Every time.
And those tickets ain't cheap, man.
No.
We're not talking about $30 seats.
I'm pretty sure Billy Joel has a banner in the rafters
yes,
of MSG.
Yes, he does.
That's crazy.
I mean, and for, you know, a guy who grew up on Long Island, you know,
it's what you dream of.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an athlete, per se, but it's, I mean, Madison Square Garden or any, you know, Capital One Arena, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's the D.C. equivalent? Wale?
Oh.
But, I mean, I don't even know how many times Wale has performed at Capital One Arena. I have no idea.
I'm not sure either.
But is that like the only guy that would be synonymous with Washington, D.C.?
For sure not the only.
I mean, in modern.
Chappelle? Not going away, skewing away from music? Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was from D.C.
You didn't?
No, I had no idea.
Silver Spring.
Really?
Yeah.
No idea.
Really?
Yeah. Not exactly a Chappelle guy, but.
I guess.
You know. People think he's hilarious, so.
People like Chappelle.
I am missing out on something.
Think you are. Well,
they could just stop playing sports, I might be able to actually go and watch some stuff.
That's true. You do have a lot on your plate.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quickly, and I know we have to get back to the calls, and we will run through them, I promise. Last thing that I had here built up in the armoire, if you will, of text threads. I don't remember where I found this. I got to be honest with you. I found it on some website, some major website, but it was basically the opposite of Connor Orr, who killed the Commanders offseason, and anybody that, you know, thinks, okay, bad, terrible contract for Javon Kinlaw, which is, by the way, me, this analysis gave the Commanders offseason an A+.
Ooh, I haven't seen an A+. I've seen an A-. I haven't seen an A+.
And it's got all sorts of links to the key additions, obviously, covering the stories, right? And here's what they said. Pretty much the opposite of what Connor Orr is saying. Quote, this is exactly in big capital letters.
Ooh.
How you build around a franchise quarterback who is still on his rookie contract. The Commanders, fresh off a trip to the NFC Championship, have made several splashes in the early stages of the free agent cycle. First, they kept their core intact by bringing back Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. Meanwhile, they made massive trades, landing Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. That gives Jaden Daniels his much-needed number two receiver and a star left tackle. They also helped out the defensive line by signing Javon Kinlaw. No matter how you slice it, the Commanders are even better than when we last saw them. I wish I knew who actually wrote this and where I found it, but I found it somewhere on Twitter. I'll try and find where I found it, but I found it. I'm not making this up. I believe it or not, I have better things to do than make things up. All right, let's get back to the phones, and let's get our guy, Athan in Annapolis, double A. What's shaking, bacon?
You know, as optimistic as I am about their signings and everything, and I do think they improved. I give them an overall B+. But I have this Kinlaw guy, and I mean, he supposedly won everybody over today with whatever he said about growing up here. The bottom line for me is this guy was coached by Steve Wilks and that entire coaching staff out in San Francisco, played next to Bosa and Hargrave and all these other really good players, and didn't get a contract from them. Then went and played next to Quinnen Williams in the Jets and played for Robert Saleh for 5 games or whatever. But still, Robert Saleh is an outstanding defensive football coach. What makes Washington think that he's going to be any better here? Because he was playing with elite talent, you know, with Warner and Dre Greenlaw and all those guys out in San Francisco. And he was playing with the really good Jets defense that, unfortunately, because of what went on out there, fell apart. But still, I mean, I don't see it. From my perspective, it's concerning to me. I don't know what they think they're going to get out of him, whether he drops 20 pounds or not. But overall, I give them a B. I think they did the best they could, considering the situation they were left in from a la Ron Rivera, $40 million participation trophy. And you know, who knows what Adam Peters is going to do in the draft.
I don't think you're being harsh. I mean, you know I'm not a huge fan of – I didn't like at all the Kinlaw contract. Maybe I like the player a little bit better than you, maybe. I don't love the fact, you know, if he drops down to like 305 pounds and can't anchor and can't, you know, take on and hold up against double teams on the interior or set the edge, depending on how they use him. As we've talked about, they might use him as kind of that, like that elephant edge position. If he can't do that, then not only are you not getting the results this year, but you're stuck with a huge cap hit next year if he's a one-year player, or if he, for whatever reason, doesn't come here and light it up, and he's not just a late bloomer. And I would also suggest, for everybody that thinks in Adam we trust and Peters we cook or whatever the hell they say, and that Dan Quinn's going to turn around everybody, as I've consistently pointed out, Michael Davis was a flop. Benjamin St. Juice seemingly got worse. Emmanuel Forbes, whatever. Jamin Davis, Fedarian Mathis, they weren't able to turn around these guys. Now, maybe it's because they were just bad players, but as great of coaches and as great of evaluators as they are, they kept these guys, they gave them a chance, and they weren't able to turn them around.
Well, again, I think it's just the hand they were dealt, and that, you know, the
right,
one
but they didn't have to keep those, but they didn't have to keep those guys. Double A is what I'm saying, and they did. Now, you know, they could have Jahan Dotson them, and they didn't.
Well, I think they wanted to give at least a couple of them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they showed more than Dotson did in training camp. But at the end of the day, I mean, I guess there was a market for Kinlaw. That's why maybe they paid what they paid. But I'm going to be, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. But it's just very concerning to me that he came from places where he was coached by very good coaching and he was surrounded by elite talent, not what we had here on defense last year. And he wasn't able to get the job done. So to be continued.
More than fair. Have a good weekend, my friend. Appreciate you as always. Let's get to Mark in Springfield next up. What up, Mark?
My brother Rooster, always a pleasure. Talk to the hardest working man in sports talk radio.
Same to you, my friend. How are you?
Good. I got two things. First of all, with respect to what the current ownership has done with the Commanders, I give them a B-. only because all these one-year contracts are basically with white chippers, as Chris Cooley would say, red chippers, above average. There are no A chippers. There's no blue chippers. There's nobody that's an all-star. There's nobody that's an all-pro superstar. And there's nobody that's really a game changer. I think a lot of these one-year contracts are on white chippers and the red chippers. Prove yourself. Let's see if you're worth it. Let's see if you can really do the job here, because I'm not convinced you've done it where you were before. I think we are one quarterback injury away from being a 5-12 season. I don't think any of these acquired picks or picks or trades are going to bring Jaden to another level. I think it's Jaden who's going to improve them. So if Jaden goes down, I think you're looking at probably 5-7 wins max. So I give him a B-. Let's see how it goes. But I tell you, from the past, you know, I've always told you I wasn't going to buy a ticket on the hope train. Mm-hmm. But I will buy a ticket on the cautiously optimistic train.
That's fine.
Because it's something.
Real quickly, before you go any further, though, I understand what you're saying about the offseason and Jaden and the injuries and all that stuff. In terms of have they microwaved the rebuild or have they microwaved the offseason, do you disagree with that notion, or is that just is what it is because all of a sudden they were so much better than they were than we thought they were?
Yes, I think it sort of is. It is what it is. Because I can't say that anybody that they've actually acquired is going to be a game changer or team changer.
Okay.
But I'm sure that there's some of them that could work out to be very good players. So
I think they all could be game changers, but they could also be flops. I mean, which you could say about any acquisition, right? But I do think they have. I do think all of these guys. I shouldn't say all of these guys. I think the big name guys: Laremy Tunsil, Javon Kinlaw, and Deebo Samuel have the ability to be like as good, if not better, than they were elsewhere. But they also
I agree.
Have.
And based
on, yeah, go ahead.
I agree based on their past performance.
Yeah.
They have the ability to fail or they have the ability to succeed greatly. But based on their past, if they regain some of that form, let's say even 80%, then we are very much better off than where we were before.
There you go. There
and
you
on
go.
The second note on John Feinstein.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Feinstein. I've loved him. I've read many of his books, starting with A Good Walk Spoiled, and they're just fantastic. I used to love Feinstein when he got on the radio and talked about the history of basketball. You remember, he would sit down and talk about having conversations at the Moon Palace on Wisconsin Avenue with Red Auerbach, mm-hmm. Coach Thompson,
yep.
Casey Jones,
yeah.
Bill Russell, all these great teams, and what a great link to history.
Mike Krzyzewski, he was close with.
Yes, Mike Krzyzewski, Dean Smith. I don't know if Dean Smith ever really liked him or not, but they always had great respect for him, and he always had great respect for them.
Yeah.
And I have not. I was very, let's say, distraught the day that Feinstein came on and they said, well, this is going to be the last day that John is going to be on the Junkies. Because that period of 8 o'clock to 8:20 on Friday morning, I looked forward to more than any other segment on the whole Junkies. And I love the Junkies. I've been watching them for 25 years. Yeah. But I was rather distraught. Yeah. And I'll tell whoever cares, I have not listened to the Junkies between 8 and 8:20 on Friday morning ever since his loss broadcast as a matter of protest. And I doubt I ever will again, because I don't think there could ever be a better segment. But again, I love you guys, and I love the Junkies, and I also love John Feinstein. And, you know, he died just shortly after they took him off the air. Coincidence? Maybe he died of a broken heart. I don't know. But we loved him, and he was active up till the end. I never understood why they took a legend off the air, but I'll end it with that. And I dedicate this call in memory of John Jr. Feinstein, as Tony Kornheiser would say.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. You know, I mean, obviously, I would encourage you to listen. I would never discourage somebody. Well, I shouldn't say I would never, because I have told people if they hate me and if they're rude, arrogant, you know what's, to not listen. But I understand. And I don't know the whole reasoning behind that decision. That's not my area. But, you know, I used to listen to it pretty much every week as well. Yeah, I mean, just tough. Let's go to Lou in DC here, get him in. What up, Lou? How are you?
Lou.
I don't know what's going on, Lou. Let's go to Little. Wait a second. I hit the damn wrong button. I didn't do that for Lou, and then I did it for...
I can hit the right button if you want.
I just closed out my screen, so I'm a disaster technology, me and my fat fingers. Could you help me out there?
Yeah, what's going on, Little?
What's up, Little?
What's up, Mac? Shout out to Rooster. Hey, Rooster, let me share a little something with y'all, man. I talked to you yesterday, but you broke the news about Mr. Feinstein.
Yeah.
After our call, let me start off by saying condolences to the Mr. Feinstein family, man. And I want to start off by telling Max how, man, you know, going back to Mr. Feinstein, he still looked the same when he was 20. Well, I was 17, 15, 16, no, I was 17, maybe 16, 17. And my father worked with the Washington Star. You know, it was Washington Star before
sure.
It was the Washington Post.
Sure.
My father was an engraver. And the Star building was right up the street on New Jersey Avenue, right up the street from y'all.
Yep.
New Jersey Avenue on the southeast side.
Yep.
And if you're listening, Bones, you can recall that there used to be the Washington Star. So, man, moving forward, they moved down to 15th and L Street. And I used to go down there, Bruce, because my father was an engraver for the Washington Post. And he was close with Wilbur, real close. Mr. Feinstein was an intern around 78, I want to say, because I graduated in 80. It had to be around 78, 79. He was an intern. Tony Kornheiser was close to my father, because he worked with Washington Post for over 40 years before he passed away. Rest in peace, Pop. But moving forward, let me tell you the story about Mr. Feinstein. When I first met him, he knew my father was senior. He called me junior off the bat. And couldn't find out. I knew he was a junior also, so he called me junior. I was to go to the building. We had all this hype about Ralph Sampson and Patrick Ewing in high school. They was going to meet up. So we knew you had to know somebody to get in Jealous Boys Club. Back then, we wouldn't even go to Georgetown unless we were trick-or-treating. I ain't started going to Georgetown until about 2025, somewhere around that area. We was hanging down this little diner called Houston. And my man, rest in peace, you know, R.E., he would go down there, spend all this money on seafood, and we enjoy ourselves. But moving forward, what I'm getting back to Mr. Feinstein is that one day I came to my father's job, and then he was sending me, because Potbelly was around the corner. He said, Junior, I'm going to send you on the run. Go get us some sub sandwiches, and I'll bring the sandwich out. Now, he calling me Junior, and he about 20. We 5 years apart, so
Little, there's a lot of stories here.
I'm gonna get you the main story. Let me move, please.
I love you, but please.
Right, real quick. Man, he got me and about four of our buddies. Now, I come out of Blue Senior High Southeast. To go to that game, we walk right in the Jealous Boys Club, right behind Mr. Feinstein. So, man, I just want to reminisce, man, on the time that he was on this earth, man, and get all the condolences. I knew his wife, his first wife. He used to come down to the building on 15th and L Street back in the day. So, man, God bless you. Miss Feinstein, if you're listening, and my condolences go out to you and your family. That's all I got. Another thing, you had a caller last week called in saying he going to put up $1,000 if we can't make the championship. Hey, guess what, buddy? If you're listening, make it five. And you can give me at JLittle1961 on X. Make it five, you got to bet.
All right.
With all this talk they talking now, they're going to switch up soon we get on the road. Oh, I knew we can do it. Oh, it's just a matter of time, just like the last caller. Man, right. get these balls right. this chance to get on the field before you try to knock them down.
I got you. Thank you, Little. I gotta run because we're way past the clock. I mean, Little just goes.
I have to pee so bad.
Little just goes on an adventure and an odyssey. It's like Candyland.
Odyssey was the perfect way for it.
I mean, it's just, all right, I'm going to shut up so my guy Mad Max can go do what he's got to do on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All righty, right back to it on the phones because we got to get in as many guys as we can. Let's go to D.C., Calvert County. What up, D.C.? How are you?
Man, I'm excellent. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, D.C. Always good to hear from you.
That's good, Russell. You know it, brother. First, I want to give my prayers and blessings out to the Feinstein family. Mm-hmm. Definitely a great sports writer and enthusiast. But I wanted to speak on Will Harris. I was watching, I think it's called Take Command Now, and he was on there, and he was talking about the culture that is now the Washington Commanders culture and how the league is talking about it. And it's like spreading like wildfire. Everybody loves it. Everybody likes how Dan Quinn treats him like a man, you know what I'm saying? And he said they also play the brand of football that he likes to play. So I'm definitely intrigued to see him play whatever position he's going to play on the field. And I like the fact that he's versatile because he's a good tackler. He also can be a hitter, but he can blitz, he can cover, he can do it all, man. And it just fired me up listening to him talk. And I'm pretty sure that's the same thing with all the other free agent signings that we had.
Have you seen some of the cut-ups, though? Real quickly, DC, have you seen some of the cut-ups on Will Harris?
Like the actual on-field cut-ups? Yeah, I've watched some. I particularly watched when he played against us last year, and he played pretty good against us.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is if you're that impressed and that geeked up about what you heard and what you know what you've seen so far, watch all the ones that are circulating around. Okay, just do a Twitter search or whatever for Will Harris, dude. I mean, homie can hit like a locomotive. And he can run, and he can cover. Okay, now, he's not perfect by any means.
Right.
Like, let's not be expecting Earl Thomas, Ed Reed, Sean T.
Right.
But he's
going to play with that enthusiasm.
Oh, and he might be their best, what I always call their best, you know, the pencil eraser. Meaning a guy who can gobble up space from a free safety position that they have had since Sean T.
I was waiting for you to say it. Hey, that's what I've been looking for, but we know there's no other Sean Taylor, but he definitely plays with that enthusiasm and that knack. He wants to go get it. Yes, I agree with you, Russell.
Thank you, D.C. Appreciate you. Always good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. Let's get to Rodney in D.C. We got some breaking news, both Commanders and another team in the NFC East in just a sec. Let's squeeze in Rodney here in D.C. What's up, Rodney? How are you?
Hey, fellas. Rooster, it's driving me crazy that the fan base is all of a sudden experts on scouting players. All 32 teams every year try to make their roster better. We have not seen this type of competitive product on the field since Gibbs 1.0. Can we please just have a little patience with these people? If you look at AP's track record, and that's all we have, is his track record with San Francisco. San Francisco always has good scouts. Shanahan has been a good coach. They've had good defensive coordinators. Everybody has a plan. And most of the time, it appears that they would rather sign these people instead of taking a draft pick where you can kind of plug and play. I'm not saying that it'll work and it's perfect because nothing is perfect. But teams always strive to get a Ed Reed or all the historical great players everything is a crapshoot during this time of the season. But you can't tell me that this team went from last year to the NFC East Championship and not give the current administration a little, just a little patience. Just have a little patience.
Well,
and
let me ask you this though, Roddy. Who is this pointed at me, or is this pointed at fans, or is it pointed at the Connor Orr guy who said they were microwaving?
The whole microwave and the two callers ago, he was like, "Oh, I just don't think any of these players."
Listen.
You are not a scout. You're not a professional football person. Yes, listen, I respect everybody's opinion. You have that right. But at least if you at least look at AP's track record, he's hit more than he hasn't hit. And he's in his second year. I'm just saying, just a little patience, please. They got the quarterback right. Don't you think that they're going to try to do everything in their power to get it right because they have a good quarterback,
sure.
Okay?
No
and
doubt.
Yes, the schedule is going to be harder next year, and they may not win 12 games, but it's trending in the right direction. All I'm saying is just patience, people. Just patience.
I got
please.
It. Understandable. There's no doubt about it, Ronnie. Appreciate the phone call and the passion plea. All right, time for our final trending alert. We've got some breaking news, and it has something to do with the Commanders. It's just so many great songs. Like you said earlier, you were worried that we had enough.
Hasn't been a single miss on here.
My God, every song is like some of the soundtrack of my life.
Yeah.
I've seen Billy Joel in concert at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse.
Ooh.
At what is now Highmark Stadium in Buffalo with Elton John the first time that
Ooh.
They toured. I've seen him at whatever the arena is now in Buffalo. Care First Arena. I forget where the Sabres play. I think that's it. But I think he's coming back to Nationals Park.
Yes.
With
I don't know who with, but I know it's like September 5th.
Sting, I want to say.
Oh.
I believe. Okay. I might have to just figure out a way. Billy Joel is awesome.
Pretty good.
And we continue to pay tribute to our friend John Feinstein, who loved Billy Joel. All right. I just stumbled across this. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is, but I think he covers the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. He wrote today that Myles Garrett, who just got paid a ton of money, who carried on like a little baby about, you know, wanting a trade and screamed to everybody and anyone that would listen, including myself, that it was all about winning a championship and not, you know, whatever. Quote, it's well known within the Browns that Garrett is frequently late to the facility. He has skipped mandatory team activities on multiple occasions. They have kept this quiet, and yet it came out now after they just made him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history and after, of course, he requested a trade. There's more to the story, which you should probably read, but it's titled, Browns Should Have Traded Myles Garrett Instead of Signing Him to a Historic Extension. I haven't read the whole story yet, but interesting. Interesting.
Very.
If that guy's a beat writer for The Athletic, and he's got to go and deal with Myles, you know somebody's going to see this. This is going to make all sorts of headlines. All right, let's get back to the phones and finish up. Let's say hello to Mark in Largo. What up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
What's
how you doing,
Mark?
Buddy?
How are you?
I know a lot of people are, you know, twiddling the winds about the signings and stuff. And actually, I think they're addressing what they had to address. I say going into going into free agency, they need to address the offensive defensive lines. They've done that. And they've also addressed the secondary as well. You know, and, you know, getting this kid that they got today from Pittsburgh to be a backup guard, you know, to Allen Gretty actually makes some sense. I would have loved for them to get Mekhi Becton, but I don't know where the hell you would have to play him at, because I know he plays tackle and guard, and he's such a mammoth person.
Well, he really only worked out at guard, so I don't know if anybody would put him back at tackle.
Yeah.
And the problem is Sam Cosmi might miss the beginning of the season, might. But he's not going to miss, you know, he's not out for the entire year where you would say, okay.
No, he's not out for the entire season, no. The only thing I would want them, I was kind of surprised about, is I wanted Washington to at least look at the running back situation, because right now, Chris, you and I have been talking about this for the last couple of months since the season ended. I think Brian Robinson needs a reality check. I think he needs somebody to like, I was hoping they would go after Najee Harris, and they didn't do that. And then I was hoping they would get Rico Dowdle, which would be different type of running back.
Right.
But I just think that they need a guy who can light a fire under B-Rob. And, yes, you can get one in the draft, and that's great. Jeremy McNichols, you know, I think when everybody thinks about him, he had a decent year. It's just he had that fumble in the title game, and a lot of people can't shake that. But I do think you need someone that's got some explosiveness that can come out of the backfield. And I just don't think – I just don't know what was wrong with Brian Robinson. And I guess, the coaching staff feels some – I mean, Dan may feel some kind of way, but we'll see. Maybe they'll address that in the draft. But I do think at 29 they're going to get an edge rusher. I think at 29 they're going to get an edge rusher. I don't think – they may get a tackle. If they get a tackle, it'll be a second or third round. I wouldn't trade for Henderson at all, period, because I think Henderson, if he doesn't play the run well, why are you going to pay him $30 million? I would stay pat with what you have right now.
I don't know if he doesn't play the run well, but he's not.
That's what Kevin was saying. That's what Kevin said earlier.
What I was getting at is he's not a great run defender by any means. But you got to remember, they stripped that defensive line and exposed him not only as a pass rusher, which he overcame at 17 and a half sacks each of the last 2 years, but also as a run edge setter. I mean, not everybody's going to be a dominant pass rusher and run edge setter. I mean, that's why Myles Garrett, who we were just talking about, got all that damn money, because he's really good at that. But there's only one of those guys, maybe two. That's it. So
that's true. And that's where I think what they have to do is, I think what the Commanders have to do is focus on, you got to stop the run. Now, I think as far as running in the middle, I think they've addressed that, getting the guys they've gotten. I think they've kind of addressed that. But I also think you need guys on the edge that's pretty good. Armstrong wasn't bad, but you're right about Fowler. I don't think they're going to really miss Fowler, because, yes, he was a good pass rusher with 10 and 11 sacks, and that's fine, well, and good. This team was ahead in a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as run defense, you know, yeah.
Clearly. they realized, hey, listen, we need to exchange some pass rush for the ability to not get absolutely ambushed time and time again. And to be fair to Dante Fowler, it wasn't just on his side. It was up the middle, too, way too often. And all across the board, people are being subtracted, including Jonathan Allen. A lot of that was financial, but including Jonathan Allen, because of that problem. And trust me, if they could get rid of Daron Payne today, they would get rid of Daron Payne today.
That's what I was about to say.
I don't know that, but I truly believe that.
Payne better have a great year this year. Yeah. I think he better have a great year this year. And I think if he doesn't, I think they, that's why they got his replacements. They got Goldman, who I actually think the play is better in a 4-3 than he is in a 3-4. Yeah. And I think he could do something. And you got Kinlaw to play alongside Newton. I mean, Deron's got a lot. I mean,
Yeah,
I could see that. I could see definitely that a cut. He could be cut casually next year. So we'll see.
Yeah, hey, we'll see. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. One last one here. Keith is in Clinton on the Team 980. Keith, good afternoon. How are you?
My man, Chris. How you doing?
What's shaking, Keith?
Let's make this quick so we can get to the dumb of the week.
Yes, sir.
dumb of the day. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
No, I think Henderson. I think no. Let's leave him alone for the simple fact he's too old, he's older. Okay. I don't want to waste no first round and a third or a second and a fourth or whatever the combination is on a player that's going to give me 3 years and I'm sacrificing. I mean, you got to understand this one thing, you guys. Everybody that's listening. He came from someplace, and they found him to be good because they had great scouts. We just need to have better scouts, just like the Eagles. They got some great scouts that get great reports on these players that they find. You know, we can find these players too. Stop being so scared to sit up there and find somebody from the draft. We'll be okay. We'll find somebody like him or somebody better than him. You don't know. So we can't knock that. But we can't trade all our draft picks away for people that's just going to be here for 2 years, 3 years, and they take up a lot of money in the space. We're going to be in trouble down the road. And they said when they first got here, we were going to build our team through the draft. Well, come on, don't lose focus just because we had a great year, okay? And so that's all I want to say. And I'm going to talk to you tomorrow, though, for sure.
Well, it won't be tomorrow. I ain't going to be here.
No, I'm sorry. That's like it's Saturday.
Monday. For sure. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend, brother. Appreciate you as always. All right, that's going to do it for the phones. We don't have any more time. When we do return, we got to wrap things up. Dumb of the day on the way. And we'll say goodbye and pay one last tribute to our friend John Feinstein next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, well done, Mad Max. What a great tribute, I hope, to John Feinstein, who left us yesterday at the age of 69 and, again, made an indelible impact. Whether you love John or didn't love John or agreed with John, didn't love, you know, whatever. He rubbed some people the wrong way. I always got along with him. We weren't super close or anything like that. But he made an impact on me, on all of us. He loved Billy Joel and... you know, we can't control the inevitable, but we can pay tribute. You know, Max did a great job mixing it all up and getting us home. And indeed, only the good die young. Before we get to dumb of the day, the Commanders have made another move. They have signed veteran guard Nate Herbig. He can also play center. He's got 30 career interior offensive line starts and was expected to be Pittsburgh's starting center. Last year, according to Ben Standing, suffered a season-ending rotator cuff injury. So he could certainly help them at guard center. Now, they did re-sign Michael Dieter yesterday, but obviously, again, they need a backup center to Tyler Biadasz, but they also could need a starting right guard. So... we'll see what happens with Cosme. Anyway, sounds like a fairly good deal. Maybe it's just him and Dieter for a roster spot. We'll have to see how that plays out based on health and all that stuff. But you know what time it is. It is time to wrap up the broadcast week.
It's time for Dumb of the Day.
Yes, this from the New York Post. As we get many of our stuff. Headline, I live rent-free. In a shopping container. In a shipping container. Shipping container. And only spend $330 per month on expenses. This is a Scottish woman. She lives rent-free. Her expenses total just over $330 per month. Her name is Robin Swan. She's 33 years old. She has a male companion. Looks like she has some pets. She says, living in a shipping container is quite tolling on your body, but I'd like to keep living off the grid as long as I can. So you might ask, like, what the hell is this all about? So she, in 2023, she moved out of her house, sold all of her possessions, remortgaged her house to buy a 7-acre lot of land for around $240,000. She then dropped another $5,500 on a shipping container. a shipping container 40 by 8 foot for her and her partner, Luke, a 29-year-old male, to live in. Then, well, they built the container around. They bought some furniture, but they didn't have electricity for the first 8 months. Yeah! She slept on a mattress on the floor during the construction. She's a full-time dog walker. I didn't even know you could be a full-time dog walker.
Oh, yeah.
Now they have a fridge, a freezer, and a full bathroom, and a working shower, and a woo-woo waterless toilet, and solar panels, and animals, and a filtration system. She's raising her own livestock, chickens, rabbits. She hopes to become 70% self-sufficient by this summer. You know what this is called, Max? Somebody has gone mad.
Well,
somebody is insane. Somebody rescue this poor woman.
8 months without electricity is nuts.
My goodness. And a woo-woo waterless toilet. How do you get your woo-woo down the woo-woo? I don't know. All right. Whatever. To each his own.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
All right. Great job by Mad Max. As always, safe travels back down to Dunedin to do your real job and collect one of your paychecks from the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Again, rest in peace, John Feinstein. Thanks to Billy Joel for helping us out and playing all the great hits that John loved. And hope John and Pete are having a little Italian dinner or something up in heaven this weekend together watching all the college hoops. Thanks to all of you who called, listened, participated. Jim Bowden joins us from SiriusXM and The Athletic to talk Nationals and more Monday at 3:15. Enjoy the weekend. Adios.